Amen. James chapter 5. Will you look there with me? Book of James chapter 5. There are several principles related to prayer and getting a prayer through. You ever feel like that you pray and you just wonder, Lord, is this go anywhere? Is it getting anything done? Is it accomplishing anything? Well, let's look here just at a few principles here from James chapter 5 and verse number 16, 17, and 18. These three verses from the book of James. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, whenever we talk about someone like Elijah the prophet, we think, you know, that we just make the assumption, well, he was a prophet. He was such a prophet of God, a man of God, that he had power with God, so surely he could get a prayer through. But to put an end to that wrong assumption, the Bible says that he was just like you and me. He was just like you and me. He wasn't someone that had any special qualification. He was flesh and blood. He had weaknesses and strengths like all of us have. He was just a mere man. Amen. But his prayer accomplished some things. Now let's look here at this verse 16. Starting off with this, confess your faults one to another. Confessing your faults one to another. Now in the body of Christ, we're like a family, the family of God. We are able to and the whole purpose of confessing your faults is so that you can stand on a solid foundation with a clear conscience before God and man and pray a prayer that's effective. Amen. And so to confess your faults one to another is to clear your conscience. If you have aught against your brother, you remember there are other places in the scripture that deal with this same principle. You bring your gift to the altar and remember at the altar that you have aught against your brother. You leave your gift. You go to that one that you have committed that wrong to against, and you make that right. Then you come again and offer your gift. And so that's one. There's other examples in the scripture, even in your own family, even in your own home, that if you pray a prayer, your prayers aren't getting through, and you recognize that they're not getting through, that it's possible that even just having aught in your household, in your family, that you make sure that your prayers be not hindered. You clear your conscience. Amen. Amen. But between one another. Confess your faults one to another. You say, yeah, but if I do that, then I'm going to have to tell everybody what I've done and how bad I am and how wicked I am and the thoughts that I've had. I don't know that you have to get into all the details. I don't know that that's necessarily what this scripture is talking about. But it is talking about humbling yourself. It is willing to come clean before God and before your fellow man, and especially that person, if that wrong has been done against your brother or sister in the Lord, then you go to them and you clear that up. Amen. A clear conscience. So in order to pray an effective prayer and to really... what we want to see happen is to be able to pray prayers and believe that those prayers are going to break through and they're going to touch the heart of God, and God is going to move Amen. So clear your conscience, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another. Not only do you clear your conscience, but you also pray prayers that are not selfish, but you pray prayers of compassion and concern for others. That whole spirit of selfishness and, you know, it's all about my needs and my problems and what, you know, my worries. But instead, as you pour out and you pray prayers, sometimes sacrificial prayers, you've got big needs, but you go and you pray for those that are in need. You pray one for another that you may be healed. The word healed there is, it includes physical healing, but it's really a word that means completely whole. That you can be made completely whole. That everything that's hindering or stopping your effective prayers will be taken care of. And then this part of the verse is so oft quoted, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Again, qualifications, I guess we would call it, for an effective prayer. We need to pray that kind of a prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It gets much accomplished. So if you've been worried, Lord, I pray, but it doesn't seem like I'm getting a prayer through. Well, the effective prayer is a fervent prayer. It is a prayer. The word there literally means energy. Energy. A lot of our prayers don't have all that much energy behind them. We're not really all that sincere. We're not really all that fervent before the Lord. And so a prayer that is a fervent prayer. It's a prayer with a great deal of effort. I heard someone on the radio today talking about the prayers of the Jews that go to that wailing wall, and how that their prayers are not just prayers that are words, but they're action prayers. That they will write out their prayers and stick them in the wall, and that they also are there's like a bowing down and a grieving, and if you've ever seen pictures of it, that there's a moving back and forward. There's an energy to their prayer. There's an effort in their prayers. And I don't know that you necessarily have to put physical. That's really not the issue. The issue is, are you really pouring your heart into this? Are you really praying a prayer, a fervent prayer of a righteous man? We know that we are made righteous through Jesus Christ. He's the one that makes us right before Him, and that we are cleansed and made righteous and pure and holy. And so to pray that kind of a prayer, we clear our conscience, we love our fellow man, and we also take care of anything in our life that isn't pleasing to the Lord. We just allow the Spirit of God to deal with us and to remove those areas of our life that are not pleasing to the Lord. Then we can pray. Verse 17 said, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, just like you and me. Yeah, he was a prophet. Yeah, his life was a life of one miracle after another. Elijah, he was so bold that he could go. He went right in before Ahab and he said, you know, according to my word, it's not going to rain for a space of 3 years. And you talk about courage and boldness that he had. And that's the kind of person that he was. He was a prophet, and he had all of those callings and qualifications. But the scripture makes it clear he was really just flesh and blood like you and me. He was just common. He was just a mere man who knew what it was to pray. He was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Amen. So even though Elijah's life was full of the miraculous, it was all dependent upon his willingness to trust God and to pray and to call upon the Lord. It's been so impressed upon my mind in recent weeks as we're getting started now in this big 18-month presidential campaign. Don't you just dread it? All of this stuff. I have never been more convinced that the answer is not in a political candidate. It's not going to come. It's not going to come from that source. It's going to come from the people of God who really get concerned enough that we're willing to pray fervently and pray earnestly for our country. I'll mention Franklin Graham again because he's announced that he's going to travel next year to all 50 states and hold prayer meetings for our nation, saying a lot of the same things that I'm saying here about the real answer is the people of God, the church, every believer calling upon the name of the Lord in prayer. That's the answer to the ills of our nation and the needs of the church. It's the answer to your burdens, your worries, your problems. A fervent prayer, an earnest prayer, a prayer that comes from a heart that is right between God and your fellow man. A prayer that is not selfish, but it is a prayer that is in line with the will of God and the plan of God. You want to see God move. God begins to act whenever we pray. Amen. God begins to move whenever we pray. Why don't we pray more? Why aren't we praying more? Since we know that that's the plan of God. I don't really fully understand it. I just believe what the Bible says. I understand that God created the earth. He created the universe. And there are certain things, there are certain activities and actions that only take place in this world that God has created when people are willing to call upon the name of the Lord. When we pray, God begins to move. God begins to work. And we pray in agreement with Him, with the plan of God, with the Word of God. But there's just this principle in the world that we live in that's been created by God, that God works and moves when people pray. Amen. When people call upon the name of the Lord. Oftentimes, we'll do everything else except pray. Are you praying about your worries, your burdens, your needs? Are you committing them to the Lord? You see, it's because we need to be dependent upon the Lord. Backing up to James chapter 4, verse 1. Here's what happens when we try to solve problems and conflicts in our own strength. James 4 and 1. From whence comes war and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? That's all that you can produce from your own vain efforts. You can't get it done. You can't accomplish. It just creates more difficulty, more problems. The problem gets worse when you try to resolve it yourself. Amen. You lust and you have not. You kill. And all this is the product of the fleshly effort, our own efforts to try to resolve conflict and issues and problems. That's what happens. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. So much of our effort is a physical effort. It's a fleshly effort to solve our problems and our needs. I don't know where we ever got the idea that there are certain needs or problems that God's interested in. And that we just have to, if it's under a certain category, then we just have to solve it and work it out ourselves. Like we don't need to bother God with our little problems. But God delights whenever we trust Him. He delights whenever we put our hopes in Him. Our confidence in the Lord. He longs for us to trust Him and to come to Him and to ask Him. Amen. That's what he wants you to do. God works in response to our prayers. And God is sovereign. He's all powerful. He can change anything that he chooses to change. Anything that he wants to do, he can do. But he has chosen to do things in this world that we live in response to the prayers of people like you and me. Mere common people. Amen. Amen. John Wesley said, God does nothing on earth save in answer to believing prayer. Amen. Calling upon the name of the Lord. Trusting the Lord. Putting our hopes, our confidence in the Lord. So we don't have the things that we need and desire because we don't ask. Sometimes it's just as simple as that. We haven't even bothered to take the time to ask God, Lord, would you solve this problem? Would you meet this need? Will you heal this situation? Would you work in this situation? Too often we try and we try, and it's all the vain effort of the flesh. Too often we could simply ask and believe, and God would move. And then James 4:3 says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. Sometimes you're asking because you have some selfish or wrong motive. You ask selfishly that you may consume it upon your own lust. Amen. Sometimes we don't have the answer to prayer because we don't even take the time to ask God. And sometimes there's no answer to prayer because we do ask God, but we have a motive that's not pure, it's not right. And we're asking God to work in situations. Prayer is not meant to inform God. When you go to prayer, it's not, God, here's what's going on, and would you come and help me in this situation? God already knows what's going on. You're not informing God of anything. There's not anything he doesn't know. Amen. Or there's not anything he's not, he's willing to do good for his children. Prayer then is not to inform God. Prayer is really to remind us of how much we need God. So when we pray, it is a constant reminder. Lord, I'm coming to you here again today. Remember that old song that I don't think I ever sang it, but I heard it sung when I was a kid. Remember, we're human. And sometimes we forget, remind me, Lord, remind me, O Lord. Some of the songs we have sung. The reality is this. When we pray, it is a reminder to us, I need God. People that pray are people that recognize, I need God every day. I need Him every day, in every situation. I need the Lord in every situation. And I'm reminded of that. People who need God and trust God, they pray. People that are self-sufficient, think they can take care of it, they can resolve their own problems and needs, they don't pray. They think they can work it all out in their own power. Amen. We need to pray. We need to pray for our families and our children because they need to hear from God. They need to know what it is to serve God. They need to see the hand of God. Instead of saying, isn't that lucky or didn't that work out good? Instead, our children need to hear us say, if God hadn't moved in that situation, if God didn't answer prayer in that situation, we couldn't have come through that. We need to pray because our children need to see the witness of God's mighty power. We need to pray because we want to see the problems resolved God's way. When we pray, we don't have to necessarily, we want to give God all the details. Now, Lord, here's my problem. And if you just do this, this, and this, and arrange that, then it all would be solved. God doesn't need all your suggestions. He's got a better way. And it's a way that's higher than your thoughts. It's greater than any way that you can ever imagine. How many times have you witnessed God moving for you and you just kind of stand back and say, well, that's surprising. That's kind of amazing how God did that. I could have never have dreamed up an answer to prayer that could have been that wonderful. But God moves in ways because He receives honor and glory when we put our trust in Him. Amen. We need to see the kingdom of God advance. We want to see souls saved and people brought in to the kingdom. We want to be involved in the Great Commission locally and around the world. And prayer is the driving force. As I mentioned the Spurgeon statement earlier, it's the engine, it's the force behind it all that makes it happen. Amen. So we're not dealing with an unwilling Heavenly Father that by our prayers we're convincing Him to do what's right. That's not prayer. But instead we have a loving Heavenly Father who is standing ready to move for you if you will just trust Him. And that trust is demonstrated by your willingness to pray, to ask God, Lord, move in this need. And I know it's not your will that this loved one or this friend go down this pathway. I know it's not your will, Lord, that they follow this life of sin. So, Lord, however way that you choose to work, if you want to bring someone into their life or you want to cause circumstances in their life to awaken them, whatever you want to do, Lord, I just ask you to work and move in this situation in a mighty sovereign way. Praise God. Amen. So He's our loving Heavenly Father who is standing by. He's ready. He's willing to help you. He wants to help you. He will help you if you'll just present that need to the Lord. You say, yeah, but I'm not that much of a, I've never seen that many prayers. Well, Elijah was a man just like you. He was a common person. He was just a mere mortal man. But he prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly. And that prayer, it brought judgment upon a nation. It was a prayer at the end of the 3.5 years that God answered his prayer and proved his mighty power in that circumstance. God moved in that need because he prayed. Amen. One more verse, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, the praying person, he that comes to God must believe that he is. And we all believers in that he is God, our Heavenly Father, the Creator, the all-knowing, the all-powerful. Well, we believe that. But do we believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he rewards those that diligently seek him? Hallelujah. I believe that he does. Now, I've experienced it and I've seen the testimony of it in so many people's lives. But I just believe that we need to be stirred and reminded again here tonight that as a people, prayer is powerful. Prayer can move many circumstances. Any situation can be changed by the power of prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So whatever the burden or the need or the circumstance is that you're faced with here tonight, if you have some situation, and I'm standing right now myself, but if you have something, at least one situation that's an overwhelming need or burden in your life, and you want to pray and you want to ask your brothers and sisters to pray with you, would you stand? Amen. Before we bring this prayer service to a close, I'm standing. You got some situation that's just big and overwhelming to you and a great need. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask us, first of all, to pray. Pray and pray a prayer of self-examination and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to clear everything out of the way. Everything. Any bad feelings, any ought that I've had toward anyone. I want to be on good ground. I want to be on a solid footing to pray an effective prayer. Amen. And then I want to ask you to pray. And if you want to step over to some brother or sister here in this service and pray for them, pray with them, that'd be wonderful. But first of all, Let's just ask the Lord to examine us, to help us. Hallelujah. Lord, you know every hidden thing in our minds and our hearts. You know all about us. Before you, Lord, there's nothing, nothing that's not seen. So, Lord, I ask God for help. It is only, Lord, as you come and you cleanse and you wash, and you do a work that's purifying in us, oh God. We confess, Lord, our need of you. And Lord, anything, any wicked way that's in us, anything that's in us, Lord, that's not pleasing to you, Lord, would you help us? Help us, Lord, to see that cleansed and removed from our life, I pray. Hallelujah. Lord, for these that are standing in great need tonight, first of all, Lord, would you do a work in their heart? Do a work in their mind, Lord. Bring about, Lord, a cleansing, Lord, a purifying, clearing our conscience before you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we do thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord.